Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Amen. Let's turn to Ephesians 3 and 9. I have a lot to tell you in a little time, so y'all pray for me. If I don't get through, I will do a part two on this sermon. It's kind of a continuation of last time I taught, but not really, but it just turned out that way. Ephesians 3 and 9, and to make all men see. Wow, I like to see. To make all men to see what is the fellowship of a mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by who? Jesus Christ. I want to see that. I want to understand that. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. This is stuff we ought to know. Right, this is stuff we ought to know. He said, I want to show you this. Now the church can understand this manifold wisdom, this what God was thinking before the world began, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. Wow, I need to understand this mystery. Colossians 1:14, same writer, Paul, writes to this church. He said, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even forgiveness of sins, speaking of Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Before there was a bird, before there was a whale, before there was a man, there was a God, and his name was Jesus Christ. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him, Jesus Christ, and for him, Jesus Christ. And he, Jesus Christ, is before all things. And by him, Jesus Christ, all things consist. And he, Jesus Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he, Jesus Christ, might have the preeminence. That's a mystery that he wants the church to see. Hallelujah. For the most part, I think we've seen that. But what I want to talk to you today is about perhaps what you have never seen. I want to teach from this thought, a man as a God, and a God as a man. Hallelujah. Lord, open up our understanding today, for truly we need to understand this mystery, lest we get frustrated and weary with our journey because we don't understand you as God. We only understand man things, men things, and human things, fleshly things. But open our understanding to the Spirit of God, that we may dwell there with you in this comprehension. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. A man as God and God as a man. Now, we're very familiar. All of us is very familiar with the teachings. And pardon me while I stay real close to what I've written here because I don't want to miss anything. We're very familiar with the teachings of a man as God. Right? But we're less familiar with the teachings of a God as man. Yeah. See, by that, I mean, we talk about Jesus was God incarnate. Jesus was a flesh, but God on earth. And we talk about him as he walked upon earth, both God and man. But what we have failed to realize and to talk about is God in heaven as a man. We talk about God on earth as a man, but what about the God in heaven, how he thinks? As a man. Because hid in him before the foundation of the world was a man named Jesus Christ. And what we discuss, because we have clear understanding, is that God was made manifest. Manifest. To the world through the womb of a virgin. And we beheld, John said, his glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Oh, now I understand God better because he took on flesh. But can we understand God as a man and not just a man as God? Yeah. And we look at Jesus as being God who knew all things. For he said so many times, Jesus said, and he knowing their thoughts. But he still lived it out. Knowing that Judas would betray him, he still said, here's the sop. I'll meet you in the garden. Knowing that he'd be betrayed by a kiss, he still let him kiss him. So we read in John 18:4, Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, he went forth and said unto him, whom seek ye? All these coming after him, and Judas was there. Then answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he, and Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with him. Jesus, God, as God, he knew all these things. Yet, he lived it out. Inside of God was a man named Jesus who had eternal purpose and predestined to the cross. Yet he lived it out like not knowing where he was going. Jesus, the man, knew his purpose, yet he lived out not as God, he lived it out as man. As God, Jesus knew all things, but he didn't avoid anything that would come upon him. You see, if you knew all things, you'd start to say, my mom would have known she was going to get in a wreck the other day, she wouldn't have went driving that day. And so we start avoiding things if we know all things. So God doesn't let you know all things, so you live it out. But Jesus knew all things, yet he lived it out. And we get confused with this predestined word. We look at Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith. Our faith started in creation and it will end with his revelation when he comes back for the church. It started with Jesus Christ. It will end with Jesus Christ. The world began by Jesus Christ forming it. That's what the book says. We look at Jesus as a person who was both God and man, but now let's turn our attention to look at God as a spirit who's both man and God. We need to understand the mystery of this fellowship, which from the beginning was the world was hid. Christ was hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ became the expressed image of God. He was the expressed image of a God, and he created all things for himself. He created a world that he could live in. And we comprehend God in a man, but can we comprehend a man in God? See, are you with me this morning? Comprehend, how many of you have the Holy Ghost? That's God in you, but can we understand you in God? We have to understand the mystery of that fellowship to understand God more clearly today, lest we get to the point we say, well, if God knows everything, then how come? See, that this is where we struggle, and I'm going to help you today. Comprehending that Jesus was in God from the creation of the earth helps us to understand God as a man and not just a man as God. Since Jesus was in God, then God acted like a man. Since Jesus was hid in God from the beginning, then God acted like he was a man. And he carried on his business like he was a man. So that when he created the world, he didn't say, poof, world. No, he did it in days. Just like man lives. And the morning and the evening were the first day. And the morning and the evening was the second day. So God had a man inside of him, and he lives like a man. Although he knows all things, yet he lives daily like a man. God gave Adam every feeling that he had, every thought. You see, how did Adam get these things? Because there was a man already in God. Because Jesus Christ was already in God, so when Adam became the image, he said, let us create man in our image. It was in the image that Christ was. And so Adam was created in the image of God. In the image of God created he him. And we have now some understanding of why Adam had feeling and pain and all these things. He got it from God. See, time won't permit this morning for me to go over all the personalities and the traits of God. But all the personalities you have, God has that too. Let me just list a few. There's scriptures to back all of these attributes that man has. Everything he gave you and Adam already was in God. God has anger. God has wrath. God has knowledge. God has remembrance. And I remembered Noah. I remembered the rainbow. I remembered this. I remembered that. God is long-suffering. God has feelings. God has jealousy. God has touch. Yes. God has smell. Yes. God can see. He has eyes that go to and fro. God has gentleness. He has understanding. And God even has sorrow and repentance. So that everything man got, he got from God, because Christ was hid in God from the beginning of the world. Are you understanding me? So these attributes of man came from God because he made man in his image. And you hear so many times me say that God as a man stood on the bow of the boat. Well, let me back up. God as a man got tired in the boat and went to sleep in the back of the boat because he was a man. And he got tired and he got weary and he went to sleep. But as God, after they woke him up, he goes to the bow of the boat and he says, "Peace be still." And the disciples go, "What manner of man is this that the winds and the seas obey him? He's a strange kind of man. Look at this. He's like God." Well, it was man was God in flesh. But we need to understand that God in heaven as a man. We need to understand what manner of God is this, that he has human traits. What kind of God are we serving? He has human traits, feelings. We need to understand that the God in heaven, we need to understand the God in heaven operates like a man. If you don't, you will go all your life wondering, well, if God knew, I want to give you my universe. One verse. The word universe is not in the Bible, if I spelled it right. Now, it talks about him sitting upon the circle of the earth and so forth, but the universe is, una is one, right? And verse means to turn. So he turns everything into one verse. So can I give you, to help you understand what I'm trying to preach this morning, my universe? Okay, this is my universe. 2 Peter 3 and 8. "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." It all comes down to this one verse, to understand the man in God and God in the man. Because even David said, all of 1,000 years to you is as one yesterday. "I'm nothing but a blade of grass that appears for a short time and it vanishes away." James said it's like a vapor. But God is from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. But yet, he lives it one day at a time. One day at a time. And he lives it with us one day at a time. When God created the world, he did it, as I said, one day at a time. And then he put man in the garden to walk out his days. And this gives us a clear illustration that even though he is God, he operates like a man. And he thinks like a man. He has feelings like a man. And all of this is because Jesus Christ was hid in God before the foundation of the world. And so this should help us understand that even though God knows all things, he operates like a man. Now, how many of you know everything's going to happen tomorrow? No. And God acts like he doesn't know either. That's why we pray. If everything is just rubber stamped, then why pray? If prayer doesn't change anything, why pray? So as God, he already knew whether you would live or for him or not, whether you would be here this morning, whether you wouldn't be here this morning, but you have to live it out one day at a time. Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preaching to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. He went back. Even Christ, when he prayed, he said, Lord, give me the glory that I once had.